We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you right here on WMIE. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and this is the Refresh Radio broadcast. We want to thank you for making the offering, the fundraiser here at WMIE, a success last week. And thank you for those who called in and said that they listened to the program. We are glad that you have tuned in. So we are preparing for our Refreshing Brevard 2016 Holy Spirit Emphasis conference. It comes up Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. So Wednesday night, we also have a harvest party for our kids. That's going to start at 6:30. That's not going to be in our sanctuary. The kids ministry will run from 6:30 to 7:45. The adults, that service is going to begin at 7. And we're not going to worry about how long that one goes. Normally I try and compact that into a 45-minute segment, but we're not going to worry about that. I actually did relatively well the other day. I went 47 minutes. I was that was a couple of weeks ago. I was very proud that I managed to get as much in as we did. Now, I didn't get all the way through my lesson, but we did make a convenient stopping point. So thank you for tuning in. I pray that you would be able to make it out to some of our meetings. Again, that's Wednesday night at 7, Friday night at 7, Saturday night at 7, and Sunday morning at 10:30. And then we're going to take that night off Sunday night to rest and recuperate. So also, if you would be joining us as we pray for our country, we are a divided nation. If anybody tells you that we are not, they're lying. We are probably as deeply divided as I have ever seen it in my lifetime. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think we are set precariously for a great time of struggle. And so I pray that God would heal our land. And God tells us that the way to do that is for his people to pray. And so I want to ask you to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. It does no good to complain about the situation. It does good when we pray about the situation. So I want to invite you to participate and join us as we pray on those matters. I want to take you back to Isaiah, the 44th chapter today. We were talking last week about some things that God wants to do. I want to touch on just a few more points today. This is towards the end of the chapter, and then it transitions right into chapter 45. By the way, the chapter breakdowns, those aren't inspired. Those are just convenience markers to help us know what the text is. And so I just want you to understand that, like Psalm 42 and 43, those two psalms go together. You can tell by reading through them and the shared language that they have that those go together. And the latter part of the psalms, there's the songs of ascent. Those are songs that those are grouped together on purpose. Towards the end of Psalms and in the latter 140s and Psalm 150, there is a tremendous emphasis on praise. Those go together. So we're going to look at Isaiah 44 and right on into Isaiah chapter 45. Verse number 24 says this: Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messenger, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. So let's look at this again. Verse number 24 reminds us one more time that God formed us. We're not a cosmic accident. You are way too complex a being to just have accidentally come together in a cosmic explosion and came out with all of the complexities on a microbiology level and on a macro universal level. It is just beyond the pale of comprehension. I don't have that much faith. I have enough faith to believe that I was formed on purpose and fashioned on purpose. And so you are not a cosmic accident. You are a handcrafted masterpiece of God. You just happen to live in a fallen world where sin affects people, sin damages, sin destroys, and I want you to know that God, when we get to heaven, we're not going to suffer from all of the limitations that we do down here. We will be restored to that original intent. He says, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by himself. Get this, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness. He confounds the wisdom of the wise. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness. Intellectual elites and the political power brokers think that a person who believes in God and believes in his word is somehow mentally deficient, that we've got problems. They view themselves as superior to everyone else. And I want you to know God believes in you more than that. They have theories, God has facts. They have effort, God has power. And I want you to know that it's God's plans that are going to come to pass. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap a harvest in due season if you faint not. So I want to encourage you, do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. And so you need to make sure that the counselors or the people who are speaking wisdom into your life, that they are speaking wisdom from heaven. Okay? So right now we are in the throes of making a decision as to who is going to direct our country. And, you know, I hope that whoever gets elected is smart enough to know that they don't have the answers, that their counselors don't have the answers. Folks, if you can look at both, either one of these candidates and see them as a potential agent of deliverance, I'm sorry. There's some serious flaws there. Now, I'm going to vote. In fact, if you go to Facebook a couple of weeks ago, you will find that, there's a lot of people are saying, well, you shouldn't vote. You shouldn't vote because both of the top line candidates are so flawed, and so I was processing that, and I realized that Solomon was presented with a situation where there were two prostitutes who came in. Both of them were earning their living with sex. They they had sexual histories. And as a result of that, they both had children. And one of them rolled over on their child, killed the child, and in the middle of the night switched the babies out and switched their dead baby for the live baby. And they both ended up before the king. One of them had not was not only have a sexual history, but now she was responsible for the death of a child. She was responsible for stealing the other person's child and lying about it. There's some serious flaws, but Solomon didn't have the option of saying, okay, well, you know, this is just too complex a case for me. He was the Supreme Court in the nation of Israel. But you see, he had had an encounter with God, and God had endued him with the spirit of wisdom, because Solomon said, God, who can lead this great people of yours? I need wisdom. I need it more than money. I need your wisdom more than victory over my enemies. I need your wisdom more than wealth or great fame or long life. I need your wisdom. And so God endued him with wisdom that awestruck the world. The Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon because she heard of his wisdom. Now, the reason I tell you that is I am a Pentecostal Christian. I believe in the Spirit of the living God. I believe that he is the Spirit of wisdom, that there is wisdom from on high. And it is my responsibility to get on my face, to get into the presence of God and ask him what he wants to do. I don't care about what the culture in Oklahoma is. I don't care what the culture in Florida is. What I want to know is, God, who do you want to use to lead this people back to you? Okay? And so I pray that you would be crying out to God and that you would join us. Listen, David prayed in a time of rebellion when Absalom rose up in rebellion, and Ahithophel, the wisest man in David's day, had sided with Absalom. David prayed this prayer, God, confound the wisdom of Ahithophel. And Ahithophel's advice was rejected. He went home, put his house in order, and then he died. Look at what it says in verse number 26, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messenger. God will confirm his word. You don't have to worry about whether God has changed his mind or not. Watch any political candidate and see how they have vacillated and flip-flopped. There have been people who've been for one thing, and then when the roles were reversed and they weren't in power anymore, they switched their roles, or they weren't in power, and then they were in power, and they switched their positions. There were people who were against something, and then all of a sudden it became politically expedient, so they, if I can say this, they prostituted themselves, and they changed their position just so that they could get a few more votes. They changed their position. But God's word doesn't change. It's settled forever in heaven and in earth. He will not only speak his word, but he will confirm it. I've been in the ministry for a long time now, and I see a lot of people that I've seen a lot of people that have come through the church, and a lot of people can say a lot of things. They can tell you a great deal, but it's over 30 years of being in the ministry now. Let me tell you what this pastor is looking for. It's not for the words that come out of your mouth, but the actions that confirm the words. It's not that I'm show me before I believe it. It is, anybody can talk the talk, but I want to know, can you walk the walk? And so God not only makes his promises, but he confirms those promises. Who says to Jerusalem, so you've got to get that. You've got to get that. I want to say this. When God promises good, he's going to keep that promise. When he says that there are benefits for obedience, he intends on keeping that promise. When he says that he will save you, he intends on keeping that promise. When he says that he wants to heal you, he intends on keeping that promise. When he says that he's going to come again and take you to be where he is, that you may be with him forever, he intends on keeping that promise. I don't care what the world says. I am looking for my Savior. But that same promise-keeping God says that if you disobey, these are the consequences. And he keeps his word that way as well. A lot of times we only focus on he keeps his word in the positive sense, but he kind of winks at it when we're dealing with it in a negative sense. Okay, there are a lot of parents who make mistakes, who tell their kids to do something, and then when the kid doesn't do it, then they say, okay, I'm going to give you to the count of three to change that behavior, and one, and the behavior doesn't change, and two, and the behavior doesn't change. And it's right before that you say three that all of a sudden the behavior changes. Well, what you have done is you have just told your child that until that count of three is uttered, your word and your actions don't line up. It's just a threat at that point in time. I want to encourage you, be a person of your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Do it. Okay? Be a person who just doesn't say, I'm going to, and then doesn't do it. And you're not a person that says you're not going to do it, and then you end up going and doing it. I encourage you to have your actions and your words line up. So with that, listen to what it says. Who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built. When God says that he is going to raise up the waste places, when he is going to cause the cities to be inhabited, I'm telling you, he wants to do that. He's going to do that. When he says that he will build his church, he means he will build his church. When he told me years ago, if you will focus on building my kingdom, I will focus on building this congregation, I take that word to mean he's going to build his church. He has, he is, and he will continue to do so. So I encourage you, do not accept barrenness and emptiness in the spiritual household of God when God wants it to be filled with vibrancy and life and joy in the Holy Ghost. He wants it filled with righteousness. He wants it filled with holiness. He wants it to be a house filled with prayer, filled with worship, and filled with people coming back to Jesus. He says, this place shall be inhabited. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Verse number 28. Now this is, in all honesty, this is where a lot of people suddenly struggle, because they don't believe in the omniscience and the omnipotence of God. Omniscience means he knows everything. He just doesn't know all about the past. He knows all about the present, and he knows all about the future as well. Okay? So when he withholds something from you, you can trust that God knows what is in your best interest. Okay, it is not that he is being mean or cruel. He knows things that you don't know. He knows things that I don't know. He knows things that the brightest minds in the world don't know. He knows what is, what was, and what is to come. So, with that being said, let me read verse number 28. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and your foundation shall be laid. And this is where people struggle. This passage is written 200 years before Cyrus would make, a little more than 200 years before Cyrus would make the decree. You see, Israel went into captivity They were taken captive by the Assyrians in 721 to 722 BC. Nebuchadnezzar came and carried off the nation of Judah to Babylon in 586 to 587 BC. And Jeremiah prophesied and administered to Daniel that it would be 70 years of captivity and then they would come back. And so you do the math, and that is a little, about 206 years, you know, give or take a year, right in that ballpark, around 200 years, as long, you know, almost as long as we've been a nation. That would have been like somebody prophesying back at the time that America became an independent country and saying that Bob Arthurs was going to have a radio program on WMIE, a radio station, and his voice would go throughout Brevard County telling people that it was time to build the kingdom of God. That is the time frame that we're looking at. Now, that's a little longer. That's about 240 years right now. But just to give you an idea, that's what you're looking at here. And so some people see that and they're said, there's no way that God could know that. There's no way that he could want to do that. And I tell you, it says that Jesus was born at the fullness of time. He was born at the perfect time when all of the pieces were in place in order for all of those prophecies to become a reality. So it says of Cyrus, "You are my shepherd, you shall perform all my pleasure. You shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built into the temple, your foundation shall be laid." Now you have to understand, Cyrus was not a Jewish king. He was the king of the Medes and Persians. There was Cyrus and there was Darius. And he said Cyrus would issue a decree that the temple of the Lord was to be rebuilt. Not only that, he funded it. I will tell you that before Cyrus does that, right about this time, a little bit after this time, Josiah had already been named by a prophet some hundreds of years before and said that he was going to destroy the altars that Jeroboam had built when he rebelled against Rehoboam. And Josiah came and said, What's this? Although that's where the man of God that prophesied the things that you just did and called you by name, that's where he's buried. And Josiah said, let him rest. He desecrated the altar with the human remains that were there. Cyrus was going to be positioned by God, empowered by God, and purposed by God to bring pleasure to God by rebuilding the temple. Okay? That's why he was brought to pass. So I want to ask you this question today, because we could look at that and say, wow, that's a really interesting historical fact, and I really didn't know that about Cyrus and all of that. I want to ask you, what is your purpose? Not yours as in what do you want to do. I'm wanting to ask you, because the scripture says that God created good works for you and for me to do before the foundation of the world. We were created for his pleasure just the way that Cyrus was created for his pleasure. So I want to ask you today, what is God's purpose in your life that is going to bring pleasure to him? How's that going to come to pass? I want to encourage you to reach for purpose today, to press on, to grow in your faith, to grow in the word, to grow in your relationship with him. Don't you settle for a purposeless life when God created you for his pleasure. So what's it going to be? What are you going to do? Well, the first thing you need is you need to find out from God what he created you to do. That's got to be step number one. You've got to come and say, God, you can say it like I do. God, I'm not the son of a preacher. I'm the son of a pipe fitter. I don't have the lineage. I may not have all of the contacts or networks that other people have, but I do know that as a child, God had placed it in my heart that this was what I was called to do. I could tell you when God spoke to me about doing radio, and then I thought that window had closed, and all of a sudden it opened up again, and it changed my ministry. It changed our church. It's changed the way that I do things. God's got a purpose for you. He may have a purpose for you. Listen, my wife had a job so that she could specifically minister to a group of people. And so please do not glamorize the only thing that has purpose, because God will place you where he wants you at exactly the right time, and your light will shine in the darkness that is there, because he loves those people. He loves you. So wherever you are at, do this. Quit complaining and start fulfilling the purpose that God has for you there. I know a lot of people, they complain about being here and they complain about this season in their life. I remember a discussion I had with someone when we first got to Brevard County, and probably it would have been 1990, and they complained about this season and they complained about the next season and they complained about the season after that. And I finally said to them, look, I think that it would be a wiser course of action for you to embrace the season that you are in, because seasons change and there's going to come a time when you're going to wish that you were in this season once again. And that word proved true. And so I encourage you, find out what God wants you to do. Quit complaining about the season he has you in and start fulfilling the purpose. Say, God, you created me on purpose for your purpose, and I want to please you. And when he's called you to do that, he will empower you to do that as well. Father, this week we are not alive by accident. We refuse to just exist. Lord, this week we are crying out to you. God, would you open up doors of effective ministry? Would you provide for divine encounters with people that need to see the light of Jesus Christ and hear of the love of Jesus Christ, who will give their heart to Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart I bring you something new. I tell how great you are. I tell my praise to you.
It's like an old.